Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes a Goal podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about distractions. We're actually in the middle of a big series on perfectionism, and today we're going to talk about how distractions kind of work together with perfectionism. This is week 6 in our series. If you haven't heard any of the previous weeks, we'll link them in the show notes. And this is your first time, like if this is your first time listening to the podcast, fear not, you don't have to listen to the other episodes to get a ton out of this one. Don't you hate it when a friend goes, oh, there's a show you should watch, it's amazing. And then they say, now the first like 4 seasons are kind of slow, but by season 5, oh, once you watch the first 49 episodes, then like the plot starts to really pick up. I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. So you don't have to listen to the first 5 to get this one. You can certainly go back and listen to them all. Either way, glad you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about the distraction zone. Do you ever feel like it's hard to focus and you're always distracted? Yeah, me too. You're going to love this episode. But first, let's hear a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Quick question. What if you could guarantee the success of your goals? No, seriously. The book you want to write? Guaranteed. The business you want to start? Guaranteed. The exercise plan you want to stick with? Guaranteed. What if no goal was off limits? It's possible with the Guaranteed Goals community. The Guaranteed Goals community is my first ever membership program where you'll find the courage, connection, and most importantly, the community you need to win all your goals. Ever since I started hosting online challenges with tens of thousands of people from around the world, the number one request people sent me was for a private, non-Facebook community where we can all work on our goals together. That's why I created the Guaranteed Goals community on a user-friendly platform where you won't be overwhelmed with endless dance videos, silly reels, and dog memes. Inside this community, in addition to learning my fail-proof formula for achieving goals, you'll get access to a massive course library, check-ins with my team for accountability, the chance to win awesome prizes, 12 VIP Q&A sessions with me, the ability to team up with other members who are working on similar goals as you, and so much more. A year from now, I want you to be thankful for the way you invested in yourself and your goals today. Join me at acuff.me/goals. That's acuff.me/goals. I'll see you there. All right. We're going to jump into the episode, but first I need to say that last Friday night, I went to the Taylor Swift concert. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't know who else is doing it at her level right now. Probably Beyonce. Like if I had to make a list of people who are performing at that scale, that level of production, that many albums, that full-out commitment to the show. Beyonce, I guess Garth Brooks, there's probably a handful of people I'm forgetting, but unbelievable. She did like 44 songs and the screen was gorgeous. I've never seen an LED screen that massive, that clear. There wasn't a bad seat in the house. It was super duper fun. The fun kind of wrinkle to it was my 2 kids got tickets. They got floor seats. And Jenny and I took them downtown to Nashville because we weren't just going to be like, hey, good luck with Nashville. There were, I think it was 464,000 people coming in town this one weekend in Nashville. Nashville is blowing up. Everybody I know. It's funny. When I lived in Atlanta and I would fly places and somebody on a plane would sit next to me and they go, oh, where are you from? And I'd say Atlanta. They'd go, ugh, the traffic. Oh, I hate the traffic. Like that was their visceral response. Like I had forced the traffic on them. When I'm sitting next to somebody on a plane, they go, oh, where are you from? And I say, oh, I live in Nashville. They all go, oh, I went to Nashville for a party. I went for a girls' weekend. I went for a trip. Like, oh, I've been meaning to get to Nashville. It's having a moment right now, which I'm so excited about because cities are only dying or growing. There's no neutral. Your city is either dying or it's growing. And there are plenty of cities that are dying. When you go there, you're like, wow, every store is left. Everybody's left. This feels like a living ghost town. Nashville's just the opposite. So sometimes people in Nashville are like, oh, I hate all the bachelorette parties, the traffic. You have 2 options. Your city grows or it dies. There's no stasis. There's no neutral. So I'm glad it's growing. And if that costs us having some bachelorette parties, no problem. I'm here for it. Whatever. But Taylor did an amazing job. So if you get to see Taylor Swift, by all means, go. Consummate performer. So, so good. All right. Let's jump into today's episode. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about this idea that every action in your life does 2 things. It gives value and it takes energy. It gives you value, so you get some return out of it, and it takes energy. It costs you something. Whether it's a goal-related action you're tracking, a meeting at work, a phone call with a friend, a walk with a friend, all of life, all the actions you'll experience hinge on those two things. Now, we used a simple illustration to make sure that we're making the best use of our time. We talked about this simple illustration where you take a horizontal line, and on the left side, you write low value, and then on the right side of the line, you write high value. So imagine just a horizontal line, low value on one side, high value on the other. And every action you take, meeting you attend, book you read, friend you connect with, email you write, falls somewhere on that line. Like either it's low value or it's high value. It's either a tremendous return on investment. It's so important and you got so much out of it, or it was a waste of your time and you didn't get anything from it. Then we added a vertical line, creating a plus sign. Imagine through the wonders of my voice, a plus sign. On the top of the line, we wrote high energy. On the bottom of the line, we wrote low energy. Every action you do falls somewhere on that line too. A low energy action is something you could practically do in your sleep. Like it's Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. You could still do it. Like you're whooped, but you could still do it. A high energy activity takes a lot of your energy. Like you have to be focused. You have to be ready to go. You have to have just woken up and had your first coffee. Sometimes my wife Jenny and I will talk about that. Just the other day, we had some insurance paperwork we needed to fill out. We needed to get some new insurance. And I said, hey, let's do this paperwork together. And she was like, let's do it tomorrow morning after I've had a coffee. That was her saying, that's going to be a high energy. I'm going to have to use a lot of my brain power to locate the papers and do the stuff and all the steps. So let's not do it tonight at 6 p.m. on a Thursday night. Like I'm kind of whooped from the day. Let's save it to a high energy moment. So when you draw that illustration, two lines, very simple. Creates four different time zones. Last week, we talked about the urgent zone. Today, we're going to talk about the distraction zone. Boom, boom, boom. The distraction zone. The distraction zone is when you're doing low energy activities that are low value. So they don't cost you much energy, but they also don't pay you much of a dividend. These are often seductive actions that draw you in with the promise of low energy. Like they're easy to do. They're so easy, you barely notice you're doing them. So here's some things I'd put into this category. Like binge watching Netflix falls into this zone. Tweeting is in here. Scrolling through Instagram is in here. YouTube, like watching YouTube shorts. Oh, it's the short, just the bite size. Don't worry about it. And then you look up and it's been 90 minutes. And you're like, where did the time go? I would say attending meetings you don't really need to attend falls here. How fast inside a meeting that you're not supposed to be at can you tell? Like, can you tell in the first 10 minutes? I usually can, where I'm like, oh, they got me. There was no agenda, which means nothing's going to happen in this meeting. There's not going to be any action items. They got me. It was low energy, though, to say yes to that. And so you end up doing it. Now, low energy activities can be wonderful. I mean, who doesn't love a little bit of Netflix? But not when they're costing you the only resource you'll never get more of, your time. It's true. It's costing you time. The other thing to remember about the distraction zone is that right now there are thousands and thousands of highly intelligent people working as hard as they can to keep you right in this zone. Right now, there are user interface designers, developers, coders, project managers trying to make their app, their streaming service, their product as sticky as possible. There are meetings happening right now, regardless of when you're listening to this episode, where the question they're all trying to answer is, how do we make Sharon spend more time doing what we want? How do we make Matt spend more time doing what we want? How do we make Tristan spend more time doing what we want? If your name is Tristan right now, you're like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Because I could never buy my name Tristan at a gas station. Those little fake license plates I had, nobody had Tristan. I appreciate that. I get stuck in this zone constantly. So don't hear any shade. Don't hear any judgment. I get stuck here all the time. My wife says it reminds her of TikTok, an old robot in the movie Return to Oz. Did you ever see that movie? It was a sequel to The Wizard of Oz. It was very creepy. It was very terrifying. If you ever see that movie, you're going to write me a note and be like, John, you were right. That movie was terrifying. I'm not a big horror. It wasn't a horror movie, so I don't want to exaggerate. I mean, I do love to exaggerate, but just not in this particular case. But I'm not a big horror movie guy. I don't know about you. I just don't like being scared. And I don't like paying somebody to then be scared. And there's some things I'm like, I don't need that in my head. I don't need that exact thing in like kicking around in here. But in the movie, Dorothy finds this old copper robot covered with dust and cobwebs in the corner of the room. And she has to wind him up to get him to move because he's been stuck so long. Sometimes Jenny will come into the kitchen, and I promise you this happens. I'll be standing in the corner just scrolling through my phone. So in the middle of making a sandwich, I saw a tweet that led me to an article. And that article led me to a YouTube video. And that YouTube video led me to a sneaker site. And that sneaker site led me to Amazon. And the sandwich is half made. It's half made. I'm holding a knife with mustard on it. And I just paused for a minute that turned into 10. I got distracted and I got stuck. The other place I get stuck is when I'm about to take a shower. I'll turn the water on. And while I'm waiting for it to warm up, because I haven't given in to the cold plunge mafia yet. I haven't. I fought it. But while I'm waiting for the water to warm up, I kind of sit there and I check my phone one last thing. Just check one thing. And have you ever tried to check one thing on your phone? It's impossible. So I end up standing there in the bathroom for 11 minutes, wasting water and time. It's low value and low energy. Now, most people, here's the mistake they make. Most people think relaxing falls into the zone, but I don't think it does. For instance, have you ever felt better after binge watching Netflix or YouTube? Like, did you ever feel better after 2 hours on Instagram scrolling? Like when you told yourself you were going to go to bed at 10 p.m., but you ended up watching videos until 1 a.m., did you feel renewed and refreshed? You didn't. Nobody does. It jacks up your night and it impacts your next morning. I always say like night John just screwed morning John. Like night John ruined morning John's day. And I'm the same person, but it's fun to blame other people sometimes. So I'll be like, oh man, night John, you're killing me, dude. The morning shift is sucking right now because you went to bed so late. Here's what you need to know. True relaxation is high value and low energy. It's high value. You get a ton out of it and it's low energy. It pays you a dividend. You get to turn off your brain from all the stress of the day because it's low energy. But at the same time, you get the value of peace. Reading a great novel is high value, low energy. Watching a movie you're excited about is high value, low energy. Going on a walk with a close friend is high value, low energy. None of those things are distractions. They actually renew you. So let's pause for a second. I want to give you a little bit of homework, a little bit of podcast homework, something you can actually think about. I'm curious, what activities are in the distraction zone for you? Think through the last 7 days, last day, if 7 days feels like a year ago, last 24 hours, what activities were in the distraction zone for you? Where did you spend time doing something that was low energy and low value? So I know for myself, I spent 7 hours on Instagram last week. 7 hours. That's nearly a full workday. I had no idea Instagram had hired me. Like I work for Instagram now. Isn't that crazy? I put in a full seven. I'm still kind of waiting on that check. So on your end of things, in your life, take a few minutes later today, write down a few actions you did last week that might fall into the distraction zone. Now, if you're a leader and you want to know if you're in the distraction zone, there are two questions you can ask. The first question is, could someone else do this? Could someone else do this? The more people you lead, the more activities you need to drop. If you're going to be a great leader, it costs you a great amount of time. You have to let go of tasks as you climb the leadership ladder. You have to let go of tasks, especially tasks in the distraction zone that are low energy and low value. You might like managing your own calendar or booking your own flights. If you're a leader, like it gives you a sense of satisfaction or you like to feel in control, but that is a low energy, low value activity. An executive assistant should be helping you with that. First question is, could someone else do this? The second question is, why am I still doing this? You're essentially saying, what am I getting out of this right now? That's a huge question for most of life. If you're in a bad dating relationship, you should pause for a second and go, what am I getting out of this? Because you're getting something. In any situation, you have choices. So at any time when you're putting up with a bad situation, you should pause and go, What am I getting out of this? Not finishing. If you're not finishing projects, you're getting something out of it. Maybe it's some degree of dopamine. Like you get the stress dopamine, that cortisol, like of failing. You're getting some sort of adrenaline boost by waiting until the last second to finish a deadline. What are you getting out of it? Like, what are you getting out of it? Because you are getting something out of it. And in this case, it could be your identity. Like you don't want to let go of something because it's part of who you think you are. If vendors would be perfectly happy if you respond to your email in 24 hours, but you pride yourself in responding in an hour, what are you getting out of that? Like, why do you think you have to be on call like a doctor monitoring your email, like you're in the flight tower landing planes? Like, what are you getting out of that? I realized email was for me mostly about ego. It made me feel important to get emails. I like seeing lots of people email me. It made me feel special, like opening up a full inbox and seeing a lot of chaos was like, oh, I am important. I am busy. Look at my value. Now, if I ever opened my email and I only had two emails in there, I felt low. Like I must not be doing enough today. I must not have a lot of value today. I didn't feel needed. So I would send out a bunch of emails to stir up chaos. It didn't take much energy, but it definitely didn't give me much value. Are there any things in your life like that right now? One thing that I think will happen is that people will start using things like ChatGPT to accomplish their distraction zone activities. As AI gets better and better, we're going to see more low value, low energy activities being completed that way. For example, the other day I recorded a 60-second reel for Instagram. We then used ChatGPT to write the caption for it. We asked for 5 versions and they were nearly perfect. We had to tweak a few things, but wow, it was impressive. And I think as AI gets smarter, we're all going to find low value, low energy work that we can assign to it. We might even assign high energy, low value work, which is that urgent work. In just my lifetime, I've seen the research process for writing books change dramatically. 20 years ago, research was high energy, but sometimes low value. I had to drive to the library, like the actual physical library, wade my way through microfiche. Any other microfiche people out there? I had to dig through books, comb through archives, and I might not find anything. That's the definition of urgent work. It was high energy, and it didn't yield anything I could use. Then Google came along and was like, nah, this activity doesn't need to be as high energy. You don't have to search through books one by one by one by one. We'll help you search through all of the books. Change the game. Maybe ChatGPT will do the same. I don't know. It's too early to tell. But the goal of talking about the distraction zone is simple. We're aiming for self-awareness. We want to make sure that we're investing our time in the right things. When you're a perfectionist, you can often look at activities, even distraction zone, urgent zone, and go, I have to do them perfectly. Everything has to be done perfectly. And you end up spending a lot of time on things that probably don't matter. So look through your week. Are you seeing areas where, wow, I'm getting really distracted? I'm spending a lot of time on something that doesn't matter. It's low energy, so it's not taking me a lot of energy, but wow, is it low value? Again, the goal is we want to have a sense that we're putting our hours where they really matter. In my book, Soundtracks, one of the things I encourage people to say is, I am the CEO of me and I'm the best boss. You're the CEO of yourself. Be the best boss. Be the CEO this week. Keep a time card maybe. Maybe you write down some of your time. Like, I spent 30 minutes doing this. I spent an hour doing this to get a sense of, okay, where is my time really going? And am I giving it to things that don't really matter? Am I distracted? In the next episode, we'll take a deep dive into the important zone. We've got 2 more zones. Important zone, brilliant zone. We're trying to all head to the brilliant zone. And so I can't wait for us to head there together. But today, think about your distractions. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. Here's one from Harvo. Ooh, Harvo. Nice. Let's do it. Harvo said, John has a way of relaying useful content while making you laugh and think at the same time. I'm always recording voice memos during his podcast because I don't want to forget some of his points. I'm so glad this podcast drops. Thank you for saying that, Harvo. I love hearing that. It's super cool that you're taking notes. I do the same thing. I'm always scribbling things down. When I hear somebody say something I think is interesting, I'm always like, ooh, I gotta remember that. That is fantastic. Please make sure you subscribe or follow so you don't miss another episode. I'll see you next Monday. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.